This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A name is a very powerful thing, Thomas.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
It's a connection to the people that came before you. It's a first impression to everyone you meet.
Yeah.
But sometimes a name can be a problem.
What happened?
Well, I mean, for whatever reason, just doesn't work for you. When you grow up, you can make the choice to change that.
Okay.
But a new law here in the state of New York is giving younger people the option to do the same thing as long as mom and dad check off on it.
Mm.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. There is a new law that has taken effect in New York this year.
Yeah.
And it is called the Name Change for Minors Law. Pretty straightforward.
Mm.
Family courts are now allowed to handle name changes for kids under the age of 18 with a parent's permission. So both the kid and the parent have to say, good
All
idea.
Right.
And the idea behind it seems to be custody issues.
Oh.
Kids who may not have a relationship with the person who gave them their last name or their name, they now have an easier time making that change. Before, it had to go to another court and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
All right. I think that's kind of streamlined the process.
But it also seems like, Tommy, reading this law, with a parent's permission in New York State, a kid could also change their name to just whatever they wanted to.
But that's the way it should be.
Okay.
I mean, shouldn't you have that option as a person?
Well, as adults, you do.
No, I mean, if I get my parents' permission, why would anybody care?
I think that last part is where
with
the issue
parents
shows.
Was it?
Yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. How many parents right now, if their kid came to them and asked, would let their kid change their name?
Are we talking first and last name?
No, let's say we'll keep the last name.
Yeah.
Just change your first name.
I want to change my first name. I would like to legally change my first name. Can we do this, please? How many parents do you think would agree to that?
Hmm. I think older parents would have a problem with it. I don't know about your generation, but like my generation, the older ones were like, "Well, that's your God given name. You know, it comes from so and so. Like it has like this history."
If you were named after somebody,
nobody cares about.
I love how Tommy thinks like every parent now is like, "Yeah, man, it's good. We were cozy, man. It's good."
I'm trying to give you a compliment.
It's not a compliment. You're belittling.
You're very laissez-faire.
Laissez-faire,
and that's French. Don't give a crap. And I think y'all don't care.
I do care about the names I give
really?
My children.
But if your daughter says, man, I don't want this name.
Says like that. I want this name. I'm out of this name.
Well, you would have a problem with that? I mean, of all the problems you can have raising a kid, like this would be like a gift.
Okay, yeah, if this is the only issue.
Yeah.
No, look, I don't disagree with you. But to your point, I think that more even young laissez-faire parents would take more issue than you
think. So you'd be insulted, basically.
Yeah, insulting would be part of it. I'm sorry, Kim.
You put a lot of thought into that name, too.
Did you?
My oldest,
you like the TV show Friends, so that's why you're named Monica. Like half of these names are just crap anyway. They come from Crap Town, USA, baby.
Half of these names are just crap from Crap Town, USA.
You know I'm right.
What does that even mean?
Look at the people I know that named their kid. I used to work with a guy, Lucille Ball and Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay, there are extreme.
Because he liked those characters.
You can't use the most extreme stupid example. You can't.
And how many Jake and Abbeys are on this planet now?
But that name means something to some people.
I know.
It don't mean
they
nothing.
They could be named after somebody.
Yeah.
I also, there are probably
Jebediah
a lot of,
Jake.
Ooh, that's, I would like that name. Can I change my name
Jake?
To that?
Did you, there were people as adults that I didn't realize I wasn't calling by their actual first name until like later in life. Because
really?
As a kid, they wanted to go by like their middle name. Like there were so many kids, and for whatever reason, their first name was actually like William.
Yep.
But they went by like their middle name, which was like Josh or Tom or something. And I was always surprised, like, and their parents would call them that too. It wasn't even like something that they just decided they wanted. It was just now we're going to call you by your middle name.
And like when you were in elementary school, the only way you found that out is when the substitute teacher would come in and they'd be, you know,
random names.
Yeah,
there's name's Bill,
Jacob, Jebediah. Oh no! Did every kid at some point want to change their name to something cooler when they were younger?
I think it has to be.
It was always based on a TV character back in the day, right? Like that kid, he was cool, and he had a cool, more modern name, and that's the reason you want it. Like I wanted my name to be Jason because the Red Ranger's so bad, so bad.
Or any sports hero, right?
No, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
I mean, but here's the thing: you bring up like people just picking names out of thin air, and I get that that happens. Yeah. But there are names that have deep meaning.
But they really have no meaning because it doesn't matter.
But okay.
Well, it could be a name passed down generation to generation.
Yeah, let it go, man.
Walk with
you
me.
You are one of those people.
I hate it. I'm named after dead people.
Yeah, like your career.
Yes.
Walk with me.
Oh, where are we going?
If I am a parent who named my child after a family member or a friend, and you come to me and tell me that I don't want this name anymore, you don't understand why someone would be bothered by that?
Yeah, because it's your friend, man. It's not my friend.
But this,
why are you dumping your busted-ass dead friend on me?
Wow.
That's a valid argument.
No, it's not. When you say, why are you dumping your busted-ass dead friend on me? Okay. Kimmy, what did you want your name to be when you were in elementary school?
Well, I mean, you bring up the Power Rangers. That was the only time in my life where I was mad at my parents for not naming me Kimberly. Because all the Power Ranger, Pink Ranger stuff had Kimberly all over it. I was like, that's almost my name.
Oh. Well, I mean, look, going in the business you did in the town you did, everything worked out.
It worked out. But they just named me Kim, so I felt like I was shorted.
Okay. So there are parents, as we talk about, again, 252-WCMF, this law, it is allowing family courts in New York to handle name changes for kids with a parent's permission. It's an easier, more streamlined way to do it, and the reason they're doing it is custody disputes. It makes it easier, you know, in case things change. But it seems like, based on the law, you could just, like, go to a family court and change your kid's name.
Yeah.
There are parents who don't do their due diligence for names. Like, first off, your kid's name shouldn't be able to rhyme with anything that's insulting. Harry Mary, Farty Marty, Hori Lori. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
And if you didn't think about that when your wife was pregnant, when you were pregnant.
Yeah, came out later.
I mean, it's cruel for a poor kid. And I would know because I had the worst first and last name for a fat kid ever.
Fatty Patty?
Fat Pat, Puffy Duffy, Patrick Duffy, Can't Eat Enoughy Patrick. Duffy. Patrick Duffy, I mean, they were just nonstop. Is anything that was fat or puffy just kept coming? See, and he's laughing now, and it hurts me now.
It's good stuff.
Not good stuff when you're like 7, 8, 9.
Tom's like, I'm mad I didn't come up with those creative kids. But it is tough, though, because even if you picked a different name, sometimes kids will still find a way. They'll find a way to make it insulting.
And you have to be an insulting person to know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're
right. Like my wife would not do that. Mental gymnastics to get to that.
You're right. Here's what you need to do. Yeah. If you are having a baby right now.
Get ahead of it.
No, I'm serious.
Dildo Johnson.
What is wrong with you?
It's there, kid. You're just stuck with it.
Whatever names you want to name your kid, put it into a rhyming dictionary.
Oh.
And see what, I'm not even kidding.
Will it give you all the bad ones?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it'll give you bad ones, but it will allow you to just start rhyming that name and figure out what comes up. Although maybe that's not also super bulletproof because there are slang terms that show up after the kid's born.
Yeah, true.
You know, it's so funny.
Or people that show up that go bad after, too, so that you don't see coming.
That's the other thing, man.
What's
like,
that?
I mean, if your kid is named after...
You just like that name. Bill. Athlete.
I mean,
celebrity.
Cosby, P. Diddy.
Oh, and somebody went bad.
Somebody went horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing there aren't too many Orenthal Jameses.
Yeah, but he was so popular back in the day, though.
Did you ever meet another OJ?
No. But, man, he was such a big figure of the 60s.
I know, but his name was Orenthal.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
like that. The best thing that happened in the OJ situation is that his parents named him Orenthal.
Yeah, you're right.
There have to be other OJs, though.
Like OJ Mayo, the best basketball player, also went bad,
one.
By the way.
Mm.
Also went bad. That's the only one I
can
think.
Did he? I didn't know that.
OJ Howard, tight end, who also played for the Bills.
Yeah, there are other OJs.
But we got three OJs. And by the way, that's a
name. Those are just the ones you know.
Those are. You think there's unknown OJs out there?
Not anymore.
Have you ever met an OJ where you didn't immediately remember that man is OJ for the rest of my life?
True.
Give me another OJ.
There's got to. I mean, again, they
Google
exist.
It. Google it. Google famous OJs.
No, there's no more famous OJs.
Well, no more famous ones, but they're probably just an everyday guy that's out there named OJ.
Yeah, there's probably a Chuck Hitler somewhere.
Okay, I doubt that there. No, I thought, didn't we look this up? There's only like six Hitlers like worldwide left.
Oh.
because people decided it was a bad idea.
Yeah, you should drop it.
Great decision, by the way. You know, it's so funny. You sit here all nonchalant as we talk about, you know, teenagers changing their name with their parents' permission and how parents should be cool with it. Let me ask you this question, smart guy, because you never had kids.
Yeah.
But you have stepkids.
Yes.
And they're in their 30s now.
Yep.
Let's say, the 4th of July.
Yeah, what's going to come
on? You're getting mad at me. I was asking you a question.
Yeah, smart guy.
Your son comes home from Chicago.
Yeah.
Looks at his mother and goes, listen.
Yep.
I'd like to change my name.
I'm leaving the room.
Why? Why?
She's tough on the names.
No, because I just heard here in the break room that you shouldn't burden me with your lame-ass, bitch-ass name from old school, don't matter none, quit being stung in
Yeah, I ain't messing with that, man. Because she would put up a fight.
Okay. Follow-up question.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Stupid idiot in the back.
Thank you, Stephen Idiot.
Oh, the Puffy Boy, Puffy Duffy.
You know that your wife feels this way, and you did not consider that at all when you were running your stupid mouth.
What can I do?
Okay. Kimmy?
Yeah?
At what age do you think someone is mature enough to make that life decision to change their name forever?
I mean, I think, like, when you're an adult, right, 17, 18,
so 18?
At that point, like, you're done with school, you've kind of, you know... I would think at that point people are already calling you by that name.
The name that you want
the
to
name
be
that you
want
to be called. So what's the difference if people don't really know your real name anyways?
Well, here's the thing though, like if your real name sucks, what sucks about this for kids too, you hate your real name, whatever, it's a pain in the ass for you. Everyone already knows you by that name.
Right. Yeah. It's stuck with you.
It's not like you can like make an announcement at school like my name is Zach Morris now. You're gonna call me that. Like nobody's gonna call you Zach Morris.
No.
Although I wish my name was Zach Morris.
Like I always think a kid that would be that passionate about changing their name has already their friends and family already referred
it's
to them
your new
by
nickname,
that name.
Really?
Okay, yeah. You've been fine with so you're not fine with Tommy. Why don't you change?
No, it? I like.
You just said you hated the fact that your parents named you.
No,
after a
I'm
dead
named
person.
Thomas.
Okay,
so I always went by Tommy because I was a little kid, so everybody always just called me Tommy. So my oldest brother, his name is Jerome.
Okay,
and everybody always called him Jerome. And then when he went off to college, he came back Jerry.
Oh.
Because everybody called him Jerry because nobody walks around calling people Jerome.
Jerome Bettis, but I'm just saying.
They call him Jerry Bettis.
Jerry Bettis?
Yeah. So, yeah, like he adopted the nickname that he got in college and has stuck with it.
How'd your parents feel about that?
They hated it. Like they always referred to, and my aunts and uncles, they were just like these formal dicks. Like you had to use your proper name. It was so stupid.
But here's the thing. I think Jerome's a way better name than Jerry.
No, he hated it.
I would much rather be a Jerome.
He wanted Jerry, especially back then.
Yeah, I guess there wasn't another.
It's in the 1960s.
Yeah, was there another famous Jerome other than the saint?
I don't know.
I'm assuming he was named after Saint Jerome.
He's named after my grandfather. So I told you, it goes Jerome. My grandfather was Jerome Michael. Then it went Michael Jerome. They just bounced. You know how Italians do?
Yeah.
They just retread the names, and then they ran that one into the ground. So I got stuck with all the other dead relatives. So, like, my name's just a graveyard.
You know the other funny thing here I'm just remembering?
What?
For a man who is so like, be called whatever you want, there was a massive scandal in your family because of your last name involving multiple relatives.
From New Orleans.
Because you are Mulet.
Yes.
Right? But there are some members of your family that changed the pronunciation.
Yes. Yeah, they changed the way they spell it.
Okay. Oh,
so,
sorry.
Yeah.
So it's spelled, how do they spell it now?
Mulay.
And, like, people were ready to disown
them. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, you know, they were pissed. Like, they wouldn't talk.
Yeah, I would think people would have more of a problem changing the last name than the first. Like, if your kid wanted to change their last name to something that wasn't yours, I could understand as a parent, like, why that would upset you.
I never got that.
Really?
Okay, so, like, you know,
like what if your kid's gonna be one of the last people to pass down your name? Like I know people get really sensitive about
dies
that
out.
Kind of thing.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's a thing that's shown up in my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I have two girls.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, the world's different now, so it's possible that my girls are keeping that
sure.
name.
Sure. Yeah.
My brother has two girls.
Yeah.
Right. My sister both my sisters have sons, but they don't have the Duffy last name.
Right.
So our family name
it could
at least,
be done.
You know, it is. I mean, unless
this
I,
branch of it
finally.
Is.
And like
but that's fine.
I'm with you. I think it's totally fine. But I think it bothers my old man that his name will not live on, which is also insulting to my daughters. Like if you ain't got the name, you don't matter. You don't matter. Like I think we put too much emphasis on like this lineage of last names.
Yes, Like, it's going to go down in some history.
Well, sometimes so, it does.
Like, so, for, yeah, but they have to do something horrible.
Well, or great.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
It does. What? There are people that do great things.
Yeah, but you, more people do bad, horrible things than great things. Can we admit that?
No, I don't think
so. No, I mean, that would be memorable in history.
Okay, yeah, things
mean,
that are so horrific, the name stands out?
Right.
No, I think there
like
are
like the Dahmers.
One Dahmer. The rest of them probably were fine people.
Great people.
I guess you don't raise someone like that. Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead, Kimmy. I'm sorry.
He was.
No, I was going to say. I mean, when you, if you're somebody that's gone back through like your family lineage and like really tracked like what people in your family did, the bad stories are the ones that seem to be more prevalent than the good ones.
But every family has one. If you go back far enough, there's going to be a bad story. Alicia writes us on Instagram. Duffy on WCMF. The easiest way to get us on Instagram. I swear, if kids today changed their name, it would be something stupid like Rizzler or Skibbity Toilet. I once met a kid named Cash Money. No, you didn't.
Cash
Money.
You lie.
Why you lie, Alicia? You lie so hard. Troy reminds us.
What's that?
I mean, there was a man who changed his name to Chad Ocho Cinco.
Yes.
Says dumbest name change ever, which I disagree. I thought that was awesome. But he changed it back to Chad Johnson.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was Chad Ochocinco Johnson.
Also possible. There's a Johnson in there now.
I mean, Prince went all the way down to a symbol.
Yep. And that was cool.
Well, because he's Prince, and he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right, so Tommy says, change all your names.
Yes, it's your name. Have fun with it.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There's a good and there's a bad here.
Oh.
The good, you can save some money staying in your own backyard on vacation.
Fantastic.
The bad, some folks would say that's not really a vacation.
Mm.
Because when you want to get away, and the most affordable options in America are just a few hours from your front door, I mean, yeah, you're saving money, but it's not much different than where I came from. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Two of the most affordable vacations in America.
Yeah, where am I off to?
Are right in our backyard.
Wow.
Because, Tommy, with summer almost here, U.S. News & World Report put out a list of the 19 cheapest family vacations.
Okay.
And I want to stop right there.
Yeah, stop.
Because you and I are having an argument for the last 30 minutes. When I hear cheapest family vacations, I hear in my head I'm getting the most for my dollar. When you hear cheapest family vacations, you hear...
Sam, I see your dad packing up his family for a Chinso water only, no soda, frozen pizza staycation.
You think busted. I'll put it into simpler terms. You think it's busted.
Busted.
By the way, it wasn't Chinso because we're Irish, not Italian. Cheap does not mean chintz.
It usually is pretty chintz.
It's not chintz. Okay, and here's the thing. Now I'm going to go to the first example. You'll be like,
No. I'm going to keep an open mind.
Okay, so of the 19 cheapest family vacations in America, the two of them are just a few hours away.
Okay.
Number 9 on this list, Niagara Falls, United States.
Oh, my God. Busted is.
Well, but if you've never seen it as a...
It's a.
I mean, we take it for granted because it's right there, but I could see people making a trip for the family to go see it.
But that's a vacation. Like, you would stay and do what?
Okay, so I would like to back up Kimmy here. We do take it for granted. It's one of the seven wonders of the world.
It is.
And there are people that travel internationally
to see it.
Yes.
But to say, like, that's my vacation.
Okay, I don't get why. I get it's an American list. Why anyone would stay on the American
side? Yeah, I don't know. You would think, like, you see it.
You can't.
Like, I think I want to go see what's over there. You know, because you can actually see what you're missing out
you're,
on.
You're looking at all of the fun across the way.
Like, there's nothing on our side.
Well, I mean, you got the hotel for the casino.
And it's a casino, but you can't take the kids to a casino, so, like, you can't stay there.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking it's not, like, the most family-friendly.
There's a, there's a, you know, a microtel, I'm sure.
There's trails in a campground, so maybe that's what they're thinking there.
There's pretty rancid trails.
Probably a better
rancid
time staying in Buffalo.
Crud trail.
Shut up. You've never even seen the trails.
I ain't going down that goddamn trail. Get knifed.
Oh, my God, you're such an idiot. Okay.
And that's in the middle of the day.
So number 9 was Niagara Falls, United States, which I agree with you.
Yeah.
Not the best idea.
Okay.
Number 12 on the list.
Still looking
is,
good?
This is in America. They list the Adirondacks, and they list everything from Old Forge to all kinds of hiking, all the way to Lake Placid.
The which, mountains.
Which is funny. Lake Placid, not the most affordable vacation.
No, it's not.
It's super touristy, right?
Exactly.
And it's super small.
But Old Forge, I mean, you could have a really good vacation inexpensive and old.
Is that where the amusement park is?
Enchanted Forest Water Safari?
Yeah.
Where the fun never stops.
Yes.
They didn't pay us for that either.
All right.
That's all off the dome. Is what's wrong with the Adirondacks? Is that chintz?
No, I guess it would be all right.
A lot of family stuff to do.
Yeah.
And I know, so it seems like Old Forge has become, like, super popular with families again. Because there was a time where it kind of fell off.
Yeah.
Like, when I was doing comedy there, getting drunk and being taken advantage of by married women when I was a teenage boy. That's a real story. but no, multiple members of my daughter's hockey team, they go to Old Forge for, like, summer vacations.
Oh.
And I guess the camping's really good.
I feel like the pandemic kind of helped kick that off. Because I think a lot of people did a lot of, like, road trips, outdoorsy kind of stuff. And I think it allowed people to, like, explore New York State a little bit more than they had before.
That's a good call.
I never think of camping as a vacation because it just looks like grimy work.
I agree with you, but we're not.
And it's uncomfortable.
We're not camping people. Which
I'm not.
Which is weird because your sleeves are all rolled up ready for some grimy work.
Let's
today.
Go to it, fellas.
Rolled them up all the way to his armpits. Mm. Look, the bottom line is this. Mm. You can get world class vacations just a few hours.
I wouldn't say Niagara Falls and camping in a, on a semi-mountain. A
semi-mountain? They did the Olympics there, you idiot.
Bro, it ain't the Rockies,
bro. Oh, my God. Yeah.
There's some beautiful places in the Adirondacks.
They're not even snow-capped.
You're the most. Yes, they are. How
in the winter, not in the summer.
You are the most frustrating human
it
being
it ain't
I've
the Rockies, bro.
Shut up. Shut up. Rockies, one of the worst teams in the history of baseball right now. You want to be them?
No.
You want to be them? No, you don't want to be them.
What mountain are you climbing? Where are you skiing? You're not doing any of that anyway.
I'm just saying.
You just want to look at it?
At his size, climbing his wife's front step is scaling a mountain for him. He's got to get a Sherpa to get him into his bed every night.
No, that's when I'm with your mom.
You don't even know what that means. Shut up. So, Kimmy, here's my issue.
Yeah.
Phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. With two of these spots just hours away from us, the 19 most affordable, cheapest vacations in America, having so many affordable options close is good because it saves you money in an easy way.
Yeah.
But it also takes away two legitimate places you could travel to that won't break the bank that's away from home. Because it does feel, Kimmy, like all the touristy stuff in New York is so inexpensive. Because, I'm sorry, let me try that again. Because all of the touristy stuff in New York being so expensive, with the exception of New York City, actually going somewhere on vacation costs us more than it costs other people.
Sure.
Like, outside of New York City, any place you go in New York will be affordable compared to Florida, California, Nashville,
hopping
wherever.
On a flight.
Whereas people in California, Florida, Nashville, they
have
spend
it all in their backyard.
But I'm saying they spend a lot to live. But if they want to travel somewhere, like, they could come up here and go on vacation and spend half the money they normally would in vacations in
their
backyard.
They could. They could.
Like, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
If I want to actually leave the state, it's going to cost me more money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Comparatively.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
But we live in kind of a unique area. You know what I mean?
It's great. I love living here.
No, but I mean, because of that, though.
Yeah.
We pay a price.
Yeah. I just want to, you know, go somewhere that's not here. Money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there are other places on this list because there are, you know, 17 other affordable vacations across the country.
Yeah, where else are they chintzing?
Okay, the number one cheap family vacation in America, according to this list, is Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah, cheap?
That would be expensive to get to.
Yeah.
I get, like, once you're there.
Yeah, I understand. It's America.
Like,
it's all over.
Okay.
Because, again, by the way, if you live next to Yellowstone, not that expensive.
Well, yeah,
there.
But you live next to Yellowstone, you're married to a buffalo.
Okay. Kimmy, you went on Yellowstone?
I mean, I would love to see Yellowstone. I guess I didn't recognize that as necessarily a cheap vacation. Because,
it's a national park.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would think, like, between getting there and the potential vacation you have to take from work,
Okay.
Because you're probably going to have to give yourself a few extra days.
Just the flights to get there would kill us.
Okay, but again, the flight.
I understand.
All right, I'll give you a second. Number two is a drivable one, and lots of people from the greater Rochester area drive to this place every summer.
It's got to be Jersey Shore.
No.
No?
Outer Banks, North Carolina.
Oh, Jersey Shore was our go-to, but that's because we had cousins that lived there.
Like, Outer Banks, for whatever reason, Kimmy, is very popular with folks in Rochester.
It's supposed to be nice.
Specifically on the west side of Rochester.
Oh.
Gates, Greece, Chi-Line.
What are the Outer Banks?
Yeah. Because I didn't know anything about Outer Banks.
Do
they
see it as like a step above like Myrtle Beach?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It would have to.
Is that what it is?
I think it's nicer.
Okay, you're too east side to even have this conversation.
No big deal.
You wouldn't be caught dead in Outer Banks. I think there's actually a show on Netflix now for teens called Outer Banks. Is it a show or should my kids
I don't know if it's a teen show.
My kids shouldn't be watching that show.
I have no idea. I've never seen it.
Okay. Could you Google
it? I know there are teenagers in the show.
While we're having this conversation, could you Google if I need to stop?
too late now, right? They've already seen it.
Probably. Okay. And then the third, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Okay, that's just an amusement park, though, in the sticks.
Kind of. It's a lot of different weird things.
Yeah, we've been through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like stuff like that.
It's all right, but I wouldn't want it to be more. You're right. It was cool to drive through, like, Branson,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I'd want to stay there.
But here's the thing. We've never actually spent time in places like Branson, Pigeon
But we did
Forge.
Shows through there, though. And
no, I'm saying, but you never, like, took 3 days.
No. I will say one place that I thought was cool, and then they made a TV show about it, was the Ozarks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, some of those areas were gorgeous.
Yeah, super gorgeous.
And big money.
Yeah.
Big southern money.
Oh, big southern
money.
Oh,
yeah. But you've been to the Ozarks, haven't you?
I've driven through them. I didn't really look around, honest with you.
I did shows in there. The place was, they had money. It was
kind of
weird.
So why were they booking you?
Well, they also didn't want, nobody wants to go over to the Ozarks.
Kimmy, is Outer Banks?
Outer Banks, a Netflix series aimed at a teen and young adult audience.
Oof, okay.
So I think
and young adults. Those are the ones that get in trouble.
No, that's my kids.
No, young adults, I'm thinking like 20-year-olds.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, the more you go down this list of affordable family vacations by U.S. World and News, whatever, the more it starts to sound like those stereotypical nightmare family road trips.
Yeah, so it's like every state park is affordable.
Okay, but here's the thing. Like, the older I get, the more appealing those trips become to me.
Really? They just look like they're tough to do.
But like, I want to spend as much time with my girls as possible.
Yeah.
Like, I'm starting, like, you know what's funny? The original, like, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah.
Where they're driving
across
the country.
It's just about a disaster.
Yeah, to Wally World. Like, you watch that movie as a kid and you laugh your ass off.
Mm-hmm.
I watch that movie now and I start to think, like, that seems nice.
It does?
No, like, in all seriousness, like, not all the bad things that are happening. Right. But, like I'm going to spend.
The road trip idea.
Well, like, the trip, the times we're spending in different places, all the things we're learning together. Like, my family has started this new tradition. Where every 4th of July, we go on an America vacation.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, okay. For us, my kids probably hate it.
Yeah, they probably want to do more kid-themed things.
Exactly.
Right? Which is what some of these places that we're talking about, they're heavily made for kids.
Yeah.
But the theme park and stuff.
But like last year, we went to D.C.
Yeah.
For America. We went to New York City, checked out all like the American history there. Mm-hmm. This year, we're going to go to Boston.
That'd be fun. Boston's a great town.
Love Boston, but we're going to go do the Patriot Walk and all that stuff.
So you think your daughters are going to hate it?
I mean, look, my youngest, I think she might be just like placating me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And she could also spell that.
And we're going to go to Philly the year after.
Right.
But, like, I like it because, like, we're all learning together and spending time. But I'm sure, like, Stella, my oldest, would rather be at.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah.
So my sister one time, my busted-ass sister, she bought this conversion van. And her fourth husband went on this trip. They went from South Florida all the way up the East Coast and back.
Damn.
Cool.
It was nothing but a disaster. At the end of the vacation, we had to wire her $200 to get home. And they had to bury their dog in North Carolina.
Which is my favorite Ribs Arkansas song. I had to bury my dog in
North Carolina. Bury my pooch in North Carolina. I'm out.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. No, but I'm saying
you've come up short on second Ribs Arkansas lines a lot recently.
Well, I almost afraid I'm going to get delayed.
When does that ever
start? But like, she just, it was horrible. Like, she had this picture in her head. And everything went wrong.
Okay, but like the same stuff can go wrong if you fly somewhere and go to somewhere nice.
It can all go wrong.
It can all go wrong, but if I'm going to lose a dog on vacation, let it be Maui.
Are parents taking...
Dragged up by a shark. I'm fine with that, man. I can go have a Mai Tai at the bar.
Are parents taking their kids on vacations that their parents took them on? Or is this like a whole new experience for both parents and kids at the same time?
So that's you want your kids to relive a trip you took with your parents.
Yeah. Like, is your idea of a vacation based on what your parents did? Like, if you're a family that drives everywhere, is that because your parents drove you everywhere? Or is that just based on budget and maybe trying to... do a cheaper vacation.
I hadn't thought about that, but like we went to D.C., you know, because my grandpa's buried at all.
Yeah, right.
And like we did all the stuff that my dad had us do when we went to D.C. to bury him.
Oh, so you're on an apology tour for your father.
We're going to Boston.
Like, are you trying to make that vacation better for you and your family?
Well, we're going to Boston.
Yeah.
And we're driving.
Yeah.
Like my family, because my dad took us all to Boston for a weekend when I was like 15. Yeah. And we're going to go do all the stuff in Boston that we did when I was that age. You just made me realize I'm taking my kids on my dad's vacation.
That's interesting. Because like I don't have much interest in doing the vacations that we did as a kid.
Now that you bring it up, I would love to drive my kids to Myrtle Beach. That was like the worst vacation of my life.
Yeah, but you could do it nice now.
Well, it's weird that you want to go back to those places.
Yeah, like, you know, expired ham from the Food Lion. That's a real thing.
The Food Lion.
Okay, for those who didn't hear the story. So my dad... always trying to save money.
Yeah.
So we take a trip, and here's the worst part, man. It was a co-family trip with my dad's coworkers. Mm. They had money to spend.
Yeah.
My dad did not. And this was pre-Google, so he picks this hotel that's a fantastic deal, and he gets a brochure in the mail. Yeah. The hotel was under construction.
But you didn't know that.
Right? I know. He says he didn't. Right. He says he didn't know that. So there's six of us staying in a room for two people. My dad, we went out to dinner like twice the first night. We were there for like 5 days. The rest of the time, we ended up having to buy groceries and eat all of our meals in the room of the hotel. Also, it's like Myrtle Beach where it's like spring break time.
Yeah.
Four people to a room. We had to sneak in the room every time we got back to the hotel. Like we had to
like
go
one at a time?
Yeah, go in shifts, like three at a time so we wouldn't get busted.
So what did you do for fun?
Went to the beach, but it was also like April, so it was like 50.
Yeah, it's not pleasant weather that time of year.
We would walk around like the strip they had down there, but he wouldn't let us do any of like the games. He wouldn't let us buy anything at the shops. We would go into every shop, and we couldn't buy anything. We wanted to go to Medieval Times. That's all I wanted to do. That wasn't going to happen.
No.
We went to both Planet Hollywood and the All-Star Cafe. He made us get the cheapest meals ever. Water, no soda. Even when the waitress was like, oh, no, the soda comes with it, he was too embarrassed to be like, oh, I thought it cost money. So he's like, no, I still want him to have water. But, like, that sounds romantic with my kids, though.
Yeah.
I'll give him soda.
All right.
How about that?
The soda tour.
That's a compromise.
All right, let's take a break.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Record setting, and it's jaw-dropping that these are worth this much now.
Yeah,
but what is more insane is you would think like one person having this money for this one thing.
Yeah,
who has this? This man now is in control of some of the biggest sports franchises in leagues across the planet.
Wow,
you're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. A report yesterday from ESPN that the Los Angeles Lakers have been sold.
Wow,
or they will be sold.
Yeah.
The Buss family, who's owned them for, God, forever?
Decades.
Oh, since the 60s.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, 70s.
They have sold the franchise. You ready for this?
How much?
A record-setting $10 billion.
What a bargain.
Let me say that again.
Yes.
A basketball franchise just sold for $10 billion. To put that in perspective, that is almost 10 times what Terry Pegula bought the Bills for a decade ago.
Yeah.
Are they the sole owners? Are there other
the bus family
owners with smaller parts of it?
So the man who owned the man who's buying the Lakers, which we'll get to in a second, apparently owned 20% of them before.
Oh, okay.
So I guess he's just buying a controlling it, but whatever. He's paying $10 billion for whatever he's buying. So the man who bought them, his name is Mark Walter. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
There's a reason. He is a very private man. He's an American businessman and chief executive officer of Guggenheim Partners, a privately held global financial.
Oh, yes, the Guggenheims.
You got it.
The Guggenheims.
So owning the Lakers would be pretty damn cool, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, you kind of already did.
You were part of them, but now you get to make all the decisions.
But now you don't have any more money.
No, that's not true. Well, actually, based on what we're going to tell you here, he is also the primary owner and chairman of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh.
Okay.
He operates and owns Andretti Global, which is a
racing team.
You got that.
Damn.
He is the owner of the WNBA's Los Angeles Sparks.
Okay.
And he is one of the founders and a team owner in the brand new Professional Women's Hockey League.
Oh.
He also owns 12% of Chelsea. Yeah, the soccer team.
It's got to be pretty big.
It's a pretty big thing there. And he sits on the boards of two colleges that he went to and helps with their athletic.
So he owns the Dodgers.
Owns the Dodgers.
And the Lakers.
That's right there.
That's the two big ones.
LA Sports there.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Chelsea, how much is Chelsea worth? That might be.
But he only has 12% of it.
Okay, but still,
let's see.
What are the Dodgers worth? They've got to be up there too, man.
Well, yeah, because they also just won two World Series.
Right.
So he himself owns 27% of the Dodgers.
Okay.
His management company purchased the team for $2.15 billion, but I don't know when that was.
Okay.
2012, I'm sorry.
Right.
So he bought the Dodgers for
I bet you the Dodgers are going to be up there in the double-digit bills.
Yeah, I would think so.
Or close.
Yeah, I mean, but look, if the Lakers sell for 10,
right,
you
saying.
Got Shohei Ohtani on that Dodgers team right now. That's a global icon. You got people taking vacation. We're not making this up. From Japan. Just to go to Dodgers games. What was that stat that you told me?
20% of Japanese tourists that go to Los Angeles go to go to Dodger games. No, I'm sorry,
80% of Japanese tourists in Los Angeles go to Chavez Ravine and sit in Dodger Stadium.
Just to see that guy.
How? Like, this guy spent like $20 billion on just sports franchises.
But it sounds like he owns this business that he has. Sounds like it just prints money.
Yeah.
And also helps him buy these things.
I mean, don't forget, it's the Guggenheim firm.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
What is Guggenheim? Because I know
it's a museum.
It sounds like something out of a movie.
Well, no, but the museums are also named after things.
Well, I thought the Guggenheims were rich people that opened up that museum.
Okay, but if he runs this Guggenheim thing, his name's not Guggenheim.
So maybe he bought out the Guggenheim firm.
Oh, what does that even mean?
He was working on the Guggenheim project.
Guggenheim.
And he closed the Guggenheim project.
I'm done talking to you.
Yeah.
You were going to say something, Kimmy?
Well, I was going to, I'm also wondering, I mean, obviously you're going to get a return on the Lakers and the Dodgers and Chelsea, I would guess. But like the other ones seem like, I would guess more of like almost a passion project.
Women's sports.
I don't know how much money you're making on, like women's hockey and women's, but I mean, it's an investment and it's awesome that somebody would want to invest in that. I'm just surprised. Like, I wouldn't think it's necessarily printing money for him.
Okay, so you got that.
Women's hockey? Are you kidding me? Have you seen the numbers?
It's a valid point.
I mean, we've seen a pop in the WNBA, which is awesome.
Huge pop. In fact, it's been all over television all morning
because
Caitlin Clark keeps getting pushed around by people. How dare you? No, so there's two ways to look at this.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking to Kimmy. You're right, Kimmy, as we talk about this guy who just spent a record $10 billion on the Lakers, Mark Walter. It could be I have passion for women's sports and I want them to succeed. Let's not forget, there are lots of people who invested in silly sports leagues that became gajillionaires. Ralph Wilson is one of them.
You never know what's going to take off.
Right? The group of, I forget what their nickname was, but those AFL owners looked like idiots. They got in
on
the ground floor of the modern NFL. There's also, I'm going to screw this up. When the NBA absorbed the ABA, the owner of the Kentucky Colonels, I believe, negotiated a deal where they would give up their team.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those guys were looked at as idiots too, for a percentage of the television revenue of the NBA forever.
So, you just get paid forever.
But they signed the deal because back then, not a lot of basketball games were on national television.
Right.
They are making, like $100 million a year on this deal. And the NBA has been trying to get out of this deal for like 20 years.
They can't.
So like those guys, like you said, Kimmy, hey, it sounds like a couple of guys that want to make Kentucky really great and have fun.
Invest in women's sports.
But he may also have daughters that played sports. And, you know, he may have a wife that pushed him in that direction.
But that's
like you should throw women a bone.
He could also see this as a massive way to make
money. Yeah. Absolutely. But
guys.
But, you know, just to get his wife off his ass, I'll buy you a goddamn team.
It's like it would be like the opposite of what your wife does with you. I'll buy you a goddamn place to sleep.
When you own and invest in that many teams, though, how much are you really participating, I guess, in the decision making? Or is it just like, I'm going to fund this and I'm hands off with everything?
The best owners don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I would argue the best owners pay, write the check, and keep their hands off.
Because that's what Ted Turner said about the Braves. The Braves got good when I left them alone.
Oh, yeah. He also installed himself as the manager of a baseball team.
Yes, he did.
Fun fact, Ted Turner, owner of Turner Broadcasting and the Braves, the MLB had to put in a rule that the owner could not install himself as manager because he made himself a uniform and managed one game before they threw him out.
Yep.
There's photos of him in the dugout. But I mean, Kimmy, to your point about the owners and meddling and all that stuff.
Is it purely just a financial decision or do you want to actually have some say here in some of these franchises?
I mean,
these guys just want to make money. Well, I mean, that's how this guy became a bazillionaire.
Some guys do it because they're fans. Like, they are legitimate fans of the team.
Mark Cuban's one of those guys. I mean, he's not a primary owner of the Mavs anymore. But I think it could be twofold. Maybe part of it is you want to make those decisions. I think it's also a very exclusive club in the four major sports to be an owner.
Yeah.
And you're that guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're not, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but there's a lot of anonymous billionaires who want to be people, and they don't get recognized.
Yeah.
And it bothers them. This guy now owns the Dodgers and the Lakers.
Yeah, puts him on the map.
What's weird is he grew up in Chicago, a diehard Cubs fan.
Wow.
He and his family still live in Chicago, so it's possible he's not even a Dodgers fan.
Really?
Just the only team he could get his hands on?
Maybe. That would be cool.
He just loves baseball.
All right, Kimmy, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
All right, because owning a piece of an NFL franchise is an effing goldmine.
Pretty cool.
They print money.
Yeah.
All right, you're a diehard Bills fan.
Yeah.
But the Miami Dolphins are willing to give you 1%. Would you do it?
No.
What?
Wait,
you wouldn't take a free 1% of an NFL team?
Oh, they're just offering? What? Oh, sure, I'll take it. Okay. I thought you meant I'm buying into this franchise.
Would you still be a Bills fan?
It would be tough, right?
You're going to turn your back on your team?
Wouldn't you feel like such a traitor investing in another team and then rooting for the other guys that you didn't invest in?
But that's what I'm getting.
I mean, I'm taking
the
money.
You'd have to give up your fandom.
Well, yeah, but you don't have fandom, man. You don't really care about the Bills.
Oh, I want the money.
I know you want the money. I want that money.
Man,
I want
the
money.
That'd be sweet.
By the way, you're only 1%. It wouldn't last at you when you leave the room. You're not even invited in the room. You stand outside of the room.
Just put the money in the bank for me.
They give you a cup and they
make
you
listen.
The part of your deal is you have to put your ear against the door with the cup on it and everyone laughs at you.
Is the cup empty?
No, it's full of urine. You got to put a urine cup on your ear.
Whose urine is it?
Wayne Huizenga's urine.
That's billionaire urine.
Yeah, it's been in a freezer for 30 years.
Is he dead?
Wayne Huizenga's got to be dead. Nobody knows what we're talking about, by the way.
He started Waste Management.
Also owned Blockbuster and the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean,
and
that guy
Florida
was
Marlins.
Uber rich.
Yes, he was. And full of urine.
Oh.
As you're about to find out. As it's
good Southern South Florida urine.
Slowly drips into your ear as part of your deal to buy 1% of the Dolphins. We're going down a road here.
You started it, man.
Yeah, you did start it.
I didn't start it.
I said, what's in the cup?
Wayne Huizenga's urine. I answered your question. Let's take a break. By the way, Wayne Huizenga is one of those names on my deathbed I will remember.
Yeah.
It's such a Wayne Huizenga. Let's take a break. Does your partner respect your job?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.